I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm here tonight to present a sermon. It's my first time I'm standing behind this pulpit, and I must admit that I'm slightly nervous. In terms of my job, I mean, if you ask Stephen, you know, we talk to people every day. I'll talk to an auditorium of 1,000 people and be completely comfortable doing that because that's what I do. It's my job. But when you stand here and you carry the, I wouldn't call it burden, but the gravity of preaching God's word to people, it's a very tight or different type of nervousness. I stand here with an excitement today to bring you a message, but I stand here knowing that I've spent the whole week searching myself as I thought about this message, because when you stand here, yeah, the sermon isn't just about the 30 minutes, it's about the preceding 2 weeks of analyzing, of introspection, of questioning whether you are the right person to present this message, of wrestling with God, about testing things about yourself, like your apparent hypocrisy. You test all types of things about yourself, and it culminates in this moment when you stand here and present this message in love to brothers and sisters in Christ. So today my message is entitled, Swimming in Your Lane While Focusing on Jesus Christ. And I'll share with you how I got there, but really what we're going to do is start off in Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to dig into the tail end of Hebrews chapter 12, but before I tell you what my sermon's about, let's just explain what this is about. So the book of Hebrews really was a book, we're not quite sure who the author is. It could have been Paul, some of the style is Paul. It could have been various other people, but the message clearly was written to a congregation or a church struggling with apostasy. They were struggling with challenges. Were these people going to fall away from the faith? They were clearly facing persecutions in that particular church. And you can't start Hebrews chapter 12 without thinking about Hebrews chapter 11. And the preceding chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 is all about the heroes of the faith. And you know, the author writes to this church and he builds them up, he encourages them, he exhorts them, and he gives examples of people who've lived the faith. These are people who went through extremely difficult challenges. They went through it. And at the end of the day, their faith triumphed. And he used that as an example in the preceding chapter. And that's chapter 11. And then he starts off chapter 12 with therefore. So taking into account all of the heroes of the faith that went before, therefore, the following three verses go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Right? So there's the race. It's marked out. You run that race with perseverance. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. So 2,000 years ago, that letter was written to a church. Clearly a church that was struggling with challenges at that point in time. 2,000 years later, in Waterkloof, Pretoria, on a warm summer's evening, we hear that same message. Yeah, life would have been different back then. Their challenges would have been different. The environment would have been different. But the emotional experience of human beings to change has not changed through the centuries. People were still anxious. They were still upset. They were still uncertain. They were still troubled. Many of us share those emotions today. We have concerns about things happening in our country. When I speak to my colleagues in Chile, they have exactly the same concerns and emotions about what's happening in their country. When I speak to my colleagues and friends in Hong Kong, they share those same challenges. Wherever you are in the world, it's human nature to be challenged by our feelings and our emotions. And they can be troubling or they can be empowering. And he writes to that church 2,000 years ago, struggling with these issues. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. I want to use the analogy of a swimming race. Now, I'm not a great swimmer. I come from a long line of fishermen. In fact, 4 generations of fishermen. And ironically, none of my family can swim. It's a thing of great sadness. They all go out to sea every day, but none of them can swim. So I've taught myself to swim, and I've done a triathlon, and I enjoy that type of thing. And it's my happy space. You know, Stephen and I both work at a company where there's a gym right next door. And lunchtimes I'll pop out and I'll do my laps in the pool. And the first few laps you'll try and do it and you'll still be worried about work and stuff. But then you get to a space where you aren't worried about the people in the lane next to you, on the left, the people in the lane next to you on the right. You aren't worried about how many laps you still got to do or how many laps you've done. You get into that space where you're just in the zone and everything else just disappears. And that's the image I want to hold on to tonight and draw the parallels between that daily swimming race and the Christian life. Because there are parallels. You know, there are times when we're so worried about the future and anxious, we forget about the joy that we have now. There are times when we're so worried about the past and its baggage that we deny ourselves the ability to actually swim in our lane because we're weighed down by its challenges. We're sometimes so concerned by people on our left who are swimming faster than us or people on our right who are swimming slower than us that we forget about where God has placed you right here and right now. And so my message tonight will be about just that. And let me set the context. As any good engineer, I work on a process. I've got structure in my head and I've got a 414 theme. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share four problems, right? And then I'm going to share one solution. And then I'm going to apply that one solution to those four problems to turn it into four opportunities. Four problems, one solution, four potential opportunities. All found in Christ our Savior. But let's start with the context. So we're delving into Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. And if you look at that guy, it's Michael Phelps. He's doing the butterfly. He's focused on one thing. He's looking at the goal. If you read Hebrews chapter 12, it spoke about running that race. And I draw that parallel between a swimming race and a running race, which is what the author wrote to that congregation. And he said, and in my mind, life is like a daily swimming race. Every day we pitch up and it's a brand new race. The race you swam today when you woke up this morning and came to church and did your thing is going to be different to the race you run tomorrow morning. And it's going to be different to the way you start and end your race on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, God willing. But the point that I make is every day for the Christian is a race with new challenges. Every day we pitch up and we race. And each day our human experience can alternate based on our emotions because we're emotional people by nature. Yeah, our previous experiences determine our emotional response. Our emotional response in turn drives our behavior. So we can be emotional. And the challenges we face are fueled by those emotions. But Jesus is the only constant in this race. You may feel good, you may feel bad tomorrow, but He is going to be exactly the same every day. And He's the one constant in that race. So that's the parallel I'm going to bring through it, that element of a race. So picture yourself in the water, you're in that middle lane, there's people on your left, people on your right, you're worried about the future, but anxious about the past, but right here, right now, God has placed you where you need to be. Right here, right now, you can make decisions about your relationship with Christ. And that's what changes everything. And so often, you know, where we sit relative to the four problems, and I'll share that, right, is directly linked to our walk with Christ at that point. If you're sitting in the middle of that lane, sometimes you're worried about the future, that's a problem. Sometimes you're baggaged by the past because you're carrying all of that stuff with you. That's a problem. Sometimes you worry about those who swim faster than you. That's a problem. And sometimes you don't care about those people who swim slower than you. And that's a problem too. And if you can picture yourself in the middle of that grid, how you feel depends on where you sit in that matrix. And so we often lose perspective. We become overwhelmed by the guilt of the past. We become paralyzed by the anxieties of tomorrow. And we forget about the fact that right here, right now, God has placed you in this place and given you the ability to choose to have a meaningful and deep relationship with Him. And you forego so much peace by not embracing that relationship in Jesus Christ. So really, I'm starting with the context. Focus on Jesus, experience the peace He brings, and get a whole new perspective. Now, zoom out of the detail. Take your chopper, go up 20,000 foot, and look down at your life and see how God has blessed you. And so as we go through this lesson tonight, I'll keep it short and sharp. I want you to share that image. Instead of being caught up in the year now and entangled in those challenges, get some perspective, trust in Christ, and He will transform your life in a very different way. And I don't know where you sit tonight. I don't know where you feel personally. Maybe you're anxious about the week. Maybe you have concerns about what's going to happen on Wednesday. Maybe there's a big meeting. Maybe there's instability in your job. Maybe you sit here, you're racked by the guilt of the past. I've got no idea. We're all in different spaces, but the one answer, we'll talk to that just now, is Jesus Christ. And that's me setting the context for this evening. So what are those four problems? If you look at that picture on the right there, are the four swimmers doing that? And I sort of alluded to those four problems earlier. Problem one is swimming while we're looking too far backwards without bringing God into the race. If you can picture yourself in that middle lane, you're doing your laps, it's almost impossible to swim forward when you're looking backward. You know, when Usain Bolt and some of those top runners are doing the 100 meters and they're heading down that final, they focused on going ahead. The last thing they can do is turn back and look at the past. But the difficult thing for us as Christians is we forfeit that peace by carrying the past. We carry that baggage with us. Yeah, we show up to situations with the baggage and the guilt of the past. We have our regrets. There have been failures in many of our lives. Difficult situations we barely even want to speak about. Sometimes we fail so badly we're ashamed to talk about it. You know, we come to church, we've got a mask on, and we all look good, and we've got these thoughts in our head that says somehow we hope that people don't see through the mask and see who we really are because of that guilt. Now again, I'll provide a solution to that later, but it's a raw emotion that people feel. That guilt about the past, the baggage about the past. Imagine trying to swim a 100-meter race, a freestyle or butterfly, with a backpack on your back. You probably could do it, but you won't do it in a winning time. It's going to drag you down. It's going to slow you down with every stroke that you take as a person. And it's part of the baggage we carry in our life. And that's a problem. It's a real problem. The second problem is we're swimming while we're looking too far forward without bringing God into the equation. And what I mean there is the anxieties. And many of us are racked by anxiety. We're concerned about that which is uncertain. We go through life and we think about situations that are yet to materialize. We assume the worst case scenario. Let's say you're at work, things are not going well. So immediately you think, well, I'm going to get retrenched. I'm going to lose my job. I can't provide for my family. And all those thoughts become your reality. And you become trapped in that situation, and soon you find yourself ridden with anxieties, unable to do much, paralyzed by fears that you've created. And that becomes a problem too, because you live with that uncertainty and you're concerned about what it's going to mean for you. And life soon takes on a realm of hopelessness, because you're dragged down by the past and you're concerned about the future. And if there's no solution right here and right now, this would be a very difficult place for you if you don't know Christ. The other problem, number three, is swimming while we're looking to the left, yeah, with people not as well off as us without bringing God into the race. And what I mean there is sometimes you're in this race, there's somebody to your left, but you know they're slightly behind you. These are people in need of you just stopping and helping them and supporting them and providing love. But so often in this daily race, we haven't got the time to do it. We offer a quick cursory prayer, a nice little kind word, and off we go. People need more than that. And sometimes in the secular world we live, people don't care about other people. It becomes a problem because it's against the instruction of what Jesus Christ himself told us to do. And so the third problem really would be continuing your race without caring about other people and supporting other people, or coming alongside other people and helping them on their journey. So I'm hoping you can sort of picture with me as we're swimming along in this race. The fourth problem is there's somebody swimming on your right, but they're right ahead of you. And you start to compare yourself to these people. You feel like you're slower, you're not as fit. You feel that they're better than you at what they do. You know, and we have these examples in our lives where we look at people and we think these people are truly successful. They've got their act together. And what we end up doing is you end up comparing people's highlights to your lowlights. And that difference between their highlights and your lowlights drive discontentment. They drive envy. They drive lust. David, when he stood on the top of that building and he saw Bathsheba, it was the start of it, that discontent and that desire. Many people today, we live in a world where our children, ourselves, our self-worth is determined by how many likes we get on Instagram. The type of perception of a life that we put out there. We live in a very fancy house, but we all know the bank owns the house. We drive some of the nicest cars. The bank owns that too in many cases. And we look at these people who have their act together, and you look at yourself and you say, well, Why am I here and why are they there? And that gap drives all kinds of discontentment. And so those are four problems we face in this life. We find ourselves alternating between different positions in the race. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's a hard place to be. It's a lonely place to be where you're at the mercy of your emotions. And it's a painful place to be. So what I wanted to do in the first slide was to share with you what those four problems are. But wait, there's more. There's hope for us as Christians. And in the next slide, what I really want to do is just focus on the solution. Focus on the solution, which really is focusing on Jesus Christ and applying His perspective to those four challenges. Now, right here, right now, it's about turning your eyes upon Jesus. There were some beautiful songs we sang in the previous worship. You know, through it all, my eyes are on you. You know, whatever the challenges are, if you can focus on Jesus Christ right here and right now, everything else goes strangely dim because you're in His presence. The song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glorious grace." And this song was written by a lady called Helen Limmel. And she based it on her interactions with a missionary in Algeria. And she looked at this person's life, and there were certain things this person said that resonated with her. And at this time, the missionary had a tract, a little pamphlet that was handed out about the difficulty of maintaining focus while living in a world that provides us with so many choices. And it was at this point that part of the song was born in her. And the irony of this woman, of Helen, is she went blind throughout her life, right? at some point in her life. Now, we don't know whether she wrote the song after she went blind, while she was going blind, or whatever the point was. But it would have been quite interesting and poetic, in fact, if somebody who couldn't physically see, who had seen, wrote a song as beautiful as "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Because the thing about focusing on Jesus is, it's not seeing Him with your eyes, it's seeing Him with your heart. And right here, right now, in the difficulty, wherever you are, whatever situation you may face, if you were to focus on Christ, close your eyes, focus on Him, it changes everything. And the words of that song can become true, that everything in the world, everything becomes strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. If you focus, truly focus on Christ. So here we sit in this world. We live in a world where there's a lot of noise. We live in a world where sometimes we forget about Christ. We wake up and we go about our way to start the day. And we start it off with our emotions. Some days you're going to be up there. Other days you're going to be down there. You can't live your life like that. You can only live your life on the foundation of a relationship and a meaningful relationship with Christ, because it brings a stability into your life which transcends all of those problems. So, to put it simply, and not simply because it's a matter of great seriousness, the solution has to be found in Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him at this point in time and where you stand with Him. And so that really is the crux of even what the author wanted to say in Hebrews. When you're running that race, you run that race with perseverance. Right here, right now, you focus on Jesus Christ. You focus on Him as your solution. And all of the challenges you'll face, all of the problems, the uncertainties about the future, the concerns and the baggage of the past, the people who you think are better off than you, the people who you don't care about who are worse off than you, all of those things start to make sense when you see that through the lens and the perspective of Jesus Christ. So let's apply that solution of Christ to what happens when we focus on Jesus and we turn problems into opportunities. So there's four bits of scripture I wanted to share with you this evening. Now, on problem one, opportunity one, what does scripture say about worrying about the past as the future as a problem? Sorry, the past as a problem. And what does the Bible say about that? Now, problem one is carrying the burdens of the past. But scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14 says to us, "Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing that I do, I forget what is behind and I strain towards what is ahead. So I forget what's behind, and I strain towards what is ahead. And I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So in a very different verse here, Paul is writing to the Philippians, and again he acknowledges that sometimes you've got all your challenges of the past and you carry the guilt. But Paul says, shrug it off. Forget about that. Focus on Christ and press on. I don't think he used the word press randomly, because press implies images of just pushing on, but pushing on through strength in Christ. So there's this image of, yeah, if you don't know Christ, you'll carry those burdens. If you don't know Christ, if you haven't confessed your sin, you'll carry that sin. And that sin becomes an incredible burden on your life. It wears you down day after day. The guilt of failings in the past, the guilt of mistakes made in the past, those are all problems. But the solution is found in Christ. The second bit that I want to talk about, the second problem that we can, sorry for jumping around a bit like that, is looking to the future. And the scripture there is Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33. I'll read that for you quickly. Problem number two. I'm such an engineer. I've got my stuff sorted here with my notes as well. And Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33 says, therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we be clothed? But seek first God's kingdom and all his righteousness, and all will be given to you as well. So again, the solution is found in Scripture, and the solution is found in Christ. That when you start each new day, that when you look to the future, when you read God's Scriptures, when you read and trust his promises, when you look towards him and you find him in the now, and you share that time with him, the future and the anxieties of the future start to disappear. One common thing that I do, I live in Waterkloof, and I work in Melrose Arch, so I've got a 45 kilometers of traffic as the crow flies, but it could be anything from an hour to 2 hours. And often Mondays aren't my great days. I stress about things. I worry about things. I worry about things yet to happen. And some mornings I've got to actually just stop and count my blessings in Christ. Just thank him for all the things that he's done. And as I start going through my blessings, as I start focusing on him, before long, I forget about all the challenges that await me, and I face that day in strength through Jesus Christ. So there's this perspective and this solution that when you're there with God, when you're in that space with him, when you're walking with him at that point in time, you trust him, you find that peace with him, and the anxieties of tomorrow start to fade away. The third problem you can turn into an opportunity is when you think about sharing with those people who don't have as much as you. Often in life, it's easy to become insular. You don't think and you don't care about other people. You forget about the fact that Christ has ordered us, instructed us to love others as we love ourselves. And one of the verses here that I want to share is Hebrews 13, verse 16, where it says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. God requires you, he wants you to love others as you love yourself and to give consistently. He wants you to give, as one poet writes, like the rose gives its scent to the valley. A rose or a flower doesn't think about giving its scent. It was born to do just that. It gives it naturally out of its own natural makeup. And it's in that way that you as people, as you as brothers and sisters in Christ, have to give to other people. And stop questioning whether other people are worthy of receiving your gifts. First question whether or not you are right or deserving to actually give. And that starts with having a heart founded in Christ, in his love, and giving of yourself to other people. And so again, we can overcome that problem of being selfish and self-centered by focusing on Christ and knowing that in him, there's this love that 'll spring out for you, out of you. And God loves people. He loves people through people like you that give. And that's what the world needs. People who give more, love more, give of themselves to other people. So there's a truth in there somewhere. In the center, if you find that space in Christ, you are able to overcome that problem of selfishness and do much for other people. And the last opportunity, the last problem we really want to overcome is that problem of being unhappy and discontent because you're comparing yourselves to other people what they have and what you don't have. And here's the opportunity. You know, we're going to find it again in Hebrews chapter 13, but this time in verse 5. And the verse there says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And he chooses that word carefully. He says it's the love of money. Keep your lives free from it. Yep, I don't think money is a problem, but when you love it and you elevate it above all other things, when you covet it in other people, when that spirit starts to take over your life, that's when the problems start. But again, contentment, easier said than done. But it's something where if you have that relationship with Christ and you center yourself in him, that you can start to overcome that and break the bonds of jealousy, of envy, and discord, and all the other bad things that flow from that. So what I wanted to do really, and I'm going to close out now, I shared with you the four problems and the challenges. You know, we're swimming in that life, we're swimming in our lane, we've got our challenges, but the solution to so many of our problems is focusing on Christ and finding yourself in his presence. And in his presence, there's a peace which passes all understanding. And is that peace which can enable you and equip you to become more effective in your life, to turn those problems that we face into opportunities. And so, in closing, my slide is this. And here's my challenge to you, is to live in the present with Christ, right here, right now. There's a saying that goes, you know, tomorrow is just a dream. Yesterday is a past. It's gone. But today, right here, right now, it's the present. And one of the greatest things you can do is to live in the present. I'm not saying forget your past. Learn from it. I'm not saying forget about your future. Yes, we do need to have dreams and objectives. But right here, right now, if you live and center yourself on Christ, a lot of other things become vague and fuzzy, but your relationship with him becomes the most important thing. And start each day as a new race in Christ, turning your eyes towards him. Yeah, today may have been a hard day for you in terms of the race. But tomorrow, you're going to show up, and you're going to show up in Jesus Christ. And you're going to start that day with new strength and new energy to face those new challenges. And the day after, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to walk with him, because that's the only way to get through it. You're going to get perspective through the lens of Christ and live in the now. He's put you here, right now, for a purpose. He wants you to do the best that you can with what you have. I want you to recognize those problems when you encounter them in your race. Tomorrow when you wake up, it's 11:15 on the Monday morning and you're struggling with anxieties, I want you to think about the challenges. I want you to think about focusing on Christ. 4:15, the afternoon, you're tired, you've got some regrets about decisions you've taken, forget about it. Find your peace, find your space in Christ. He loves you. He wants that connection with you. Encourage people. And this is the last thing, as witnesses on the race. One of the greatest things we can do, and one of the reasons God sends challenges our way, is to be able to encourage other people with that same learnings that you've been through. So in short, really, and in closing, my message is all about that race. And if you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll do that right now, and take you back into that image and remind you of what the author was encouraging that church. He was exhorting them and encouraging them to push on through that race. He spoke about the witnesses and all those people who had gone before, the great heroes of the faith. And he says to them, and I'll read this again and we'll close with that. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, they're all watching. They're watching right here, right now. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So throw off those backpacks. Throw off those challenges, those worries, those regrets. Right? And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There's your lane. You're called to swim in your lane, not other people's lanes. Your lane. It's laid out for you. And here it is. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Right here, right now, you focus on him, and that's all that matters. Everything else becomes strangely dim and fuzzy when you find that peace in him. Right? fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He scorned his shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary, and that you will not lose heart. So, brothers and sisters, I hope that I could have encouraged you through Scripture this evening, through an image of a race. You know, all of us are in different spaces. I pray that you'll start tomorrow with fresh energy, focusing on Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith, and push on through whatever challenges there may be. But find that peace in him. Find that space in him. And find your relationship with Christ. Because it's from there that you can face practically any challenge this world's going to throw at you. Amen.